And welcome back to another episode of the Geeks and Chairs Media Boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the newest Marvel TV show to come out. The one that everyone's been hyping up about. Kind of.
Well, yeah.
It's been hyped. But for maybe the wrong reason.
Well, yes. Probably true. But it is our first... mature rated...
Disney show?
Disney Plus show for Marvel. It is Echo.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking a bit about Echo, not a full deep dive review into it, just our initial thoughts about the show so far. Which, I mean, all five episodes are out right now. Mm-hmm. I think, just to establish, I've only seen the first two episodes. I don't know how far you got into it.
Mm-hmm. I finished it.
Oh, wow, yeah. I guess that makes sense. You're always sort of,
I am a binger.
Yeah, you have shown your capacity to binge stuff in, like, whole days, and I'm just sort of like, nah, I like to take my time with some of this, you know.
Mm.
But, yeah, alright, so we're coming at it from two different, I guess, perspectives. One, you've already seen all the show. I've only seen, like, two, I guess... About what, 40% of the show?
Yeah, right, 40%.
Yeah, because the Echo show is five episodes long.
And I will be talking about that as someone who's seen the entire show. But like I said earlier, it's going to be our initial thoughts, our overall feelings about it, and, you know, what could this mean? And what does it mean for, like, future stuff? Because as soon as this dropped, a lot of stuff came out about, like, okay, now all the Netflix stuff is canon now. And I'm just like, oh, wait, they weren't? Because granted, the Netflix stuff was always kind of sort of, but not really canon.
It fell under the same jurisdiction, I think, as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it was kind of canon. Like once it started to actually show up in MCU proper, like movies or I guess the Disney Plus shows, then it was kind of considered canon.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen... any of the plot lines from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like the Inhumans or Daisy, you know, all those characters. Ghost Rider, obviously.
Still my favorite season.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of up in the air. How canon is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? We don't know.
We know it technically is, but we don't know how canon.
Yeah, like, where exactly does it fall in? And the Marvel Netflix shows were kind of treated the same way.
Yeah.
It felt like. Like, I mean, to be fair, like, Marvel Netflix never, like, it would only occasionally reference Iron Man and the Avengers and all that stuff, but...
They would consider the attack on New York the incident.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the big thing that happened, you know, right? Like, oh, aliens came out of space and started fucking shit up, you know?
Yeah, but they never went, like, that deep into it.
Yeah, they never talked about any other stuff that was going on, like, oh, did you hear about that thing that happened in Washington, D.C. with those Shield aircraft carriers? No, I didn't hear about that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know how the fuck you missed that.
Yeah, like, all these other things, like, that are happening around the time, because I want to say, when was the Defenders crossover, 2017?
Something like that.
Yeah, you would think they would have mentioned stuff about, like, maybe, like, just a scant news report of, like, oh, yeah, you know, the Avengers accidentally unleashed a killer AI, and it dropped the Scobia, you know, all that stuff.
And to be fair, that's such on-brand for, like, superhero comics, where, like, there's a big event happening over there, but, you know, Daredevil's fighting Kingpin right here.
Yeah.
Which, like, that never threw me off, that never bothered me, but I understand for, like, a general audience, that could be such, like, a what's going on kind of thing.
Right, like, you can kind of be like, so why exactly haven't, like, we've seen Daredevil or Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, show up in, like, any of the movies, even as, like, a cameo or, like, a, you know, like a reference. I mean, obviously, you know, we had Matt Murdock show up in No Way Home. He's been in a lot of, you know.
Yeah, no, they've been hyping that man up. They were hyping him up in not only No Way Home, because his was just a cameo. It was, like, a fun cameo. And then they're like, oh, here he is for some episodes for She-Hulk, which are great.
You know, doing his thing, right? Yeah. And he does show up here in Echo, you know, obviously because, you know, of Maya's relationship with the Kingpin, you know, that
yeah,
sort of thing.
And considering that she first showed up in a Daredevil book.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it made sense as to why he would be there. Because we're just throwing it out there. He's only in there for one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And not very much, not a large role.
No, I mean, he's just more or less there.
Yeah.
For a bit, just to sort of set up this sort of side of things. And he's wearing, you know, his Marvel Netflix Daredevil outfit, not the one. So he's not wearing the one he has in She-Hulk. I'm assuming it's because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, most of the beginning of the first episode is mainly, like, before, like, it's, like, set around, like, that sort of time period. Like, I want to say it's, like, not in the now present of the Marvel Universe. What I'm getting at is that, like, it's very closer to, say, when Hawkeye was coming out, like, that sort of time frame.
Yeah. Which, you know, you didn't even watch. So.
Yeah, that's the other thing I'm going to say. I didn't watch Hawkeye, which is where Echo first showed up in.
Yeah.
But, because I have heard some complaints, at least, about the first episode. I mean, we'll get into it a little bit later,
yeah.
But... you know, sort of like a whole, like, why are we rehashing some of this information? It's like, well, it's for people like me who did not watch Hawkeye, you know? Not to say I don't think the show was bad, I'm just like, I mean, it's a Hawkeye show, I guess.
I'll watch it when I feel like it.
Yeah, I'll watch it when I feel like it, you know?
Yeah, which is funny because, like, they did the very comic book thing of, like, when you open the first page, it's like, here's what happened before you read this book.
Yeah, which, I mean, I feel like that's one of those things that, it's like Marvel can never win, because it's like, oh, why are we talking about this stuff? We've already seen this stuff. It's like, well, aren't you guys already complaining about there's, like, so many new shows that no one can keep track of anymore? Why is it a bad thing that Marvel is now saying, hey, let's have a quick primer of, like, who this character is, where, you know, what their relationship in the MCU is at the moment, and then, boom.
Yeah.
It's like a full blown origin story. It's just, hey, this character has
and
a
it's,
tie.
And it's you know these people who've like never touched comic books and like never know how these work, because like oftentimes some characters don't even interact with each other in comics.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I've never seen a Ghost Rider talk with Iron Man. Maybe in some comic, but it's always so weird when it happens.
Yeah, because it's like, Ghost Rider, a literal spirit of vengeance that rides a motorcycle, has a flaming skull for a head, and Iron Man, who's a billionaire playboy genius with a suit of iron. Completely, vastly different spectrums.
But they universe. Work in the same universe.
Yes.
Because that's how comics are.
Yes.
Get over it.
But yeah, you know, overall, I think, for, I guess, to get back a little bit on topic.
Yeah.
Topic. Overall, at least from the first episode I've watched, I do like the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To go into more on that, the explanation part, I think it those first 5 minutes, like, was it 10, 15 minutes of introduction really worked? Because, like, again, like you said yourself, you didn't watch the show, you don't know who Maya is, and you don't know what the it gives you like a pinpoint like explanation as to who she is. She lost her father, her mother, her mother, you know. Kingpin came in, you know, took her in, was like a father, in her words, uncle to her, and then like finds out the truth of the situation, and then like tries to, you know, do something of her own.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good setup. That's fine. It didn't really bother me. It really didn't. It pretty much establishes, like, who she is and, like, where she is now in current time.
Right.
And, you're not wrong. It's a little more mature. It's, like, there's a lot of stuff in there that you're not going to get the quips in this show. We talked about it, like, before we started recording. It feels very much like this was made with, like, it being in the Netflix Marvel continuity.
Yeah, like, not to say there aren't comedic moments. I mean, we have, I think his name is Biscuit.
Yeah.
He's kind of sort of basically our comedic relief in the
yeah.
show. And, you know, like, for the most part, he works as a character. But, yeah, it is very much a somewhat grounded, I guess.
Like, kind of.
Kind of, because obviously Echo, you know, like, Maya does have powers, right?
Yeah, in the comics she does have powers. I do know that. I don't know what her powers are. She was never a character I really, like, latched onto, but I've always known her in the comics. Like, oh, look, it's Echo. It's even funnier because I think last time I read about her in comics was that she joined the Avengers after gaining the Phoenix Force. Yeah. So yeah, no, she's a super powered superhero who's also mute.
Yeah, which is the kind of the interesting thing about the character, because she's our second deaf character.
Yeah.
The first one being Akari, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's kind of interesting seeing like how those two characters sort of compare when it comes to how they interact. Like, Akari is very, more outgoing, like, more, you know, sociable kind of thing, while, Maya is very reserved and, like, kind of always serious about stuff. So, it is kind of nice to see that sort of differentiation and, like, how, you know, that sort of all goes about.
Yeah, yeah. And what I think is, really nice is that, so you've heard of that story where, like, everyone just come, before, they started filming, everyone on set had to learn ASL.
Yeah, I believe the it was a story that came out, and the actress mentioned how when she got to set, everybody was like had learned ASL and like were talking to her in that, and she was very impressed.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Again,
I feel very welcomed, which is that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it also shows a bit of the dedication because yeah, a lot of the characters that do talk to her do the sign language. It is interesting of note when it comes to Kingpin, like, he doesn't really do it a whole lot. He has someone translating for him. So that's always kind of, like, that's kind of a neat little character detail where, like, almost everyone that knows Maya will, has learned sign language and will communicate with her.
They went out their way to learn.
Yeah, and that reflects within the interactions of the character. And I'm pretty sure Vincent D'Onofrio learned, because there is a scene where he does do it, right? But for the most part, in those early scenes, you know, he has an interpreter or that communicates for him, right? And it kind of shows that sort of connection that, like, yeah, you know, Kingpin took Maya under his wing and sort of helped raise her. But at the same time, he also sees her as a viable, like...
There's a barrier there.
Yeah, there's still, like, a bit of a barrier there, right? Like, of, like, I am seeing you as, like, someone I can use.
Yeah, I do cherish you.
I do care for you, but I can. But I also need you for various things.
It's that like subtle like storytelling thing that's like really like clever, and most people are probably not gonna get that because I didn't even think of that, and then you start saying like, oh shit, you're right.
Yeah, it's a neat thing, right?
Yeah, it's really really good. I think another really good aside from like Americans the use of ASL. The fact that this show is very much focusing on the fact that Maya herself is a... I apologize if I'm going to butcher this word. Choctaw?
Choctaw? Yeah.
She is a Native American. And throughout... you haven't only seen the first two episodes. Throughout all of these episodes, there's moments of like, calling back to the past, the ancestors kind of stuff. Kind of like a... In Black Panther, where there's a lot of, you know, cultural stuff.
Right.
This show is very centered around the Choctaw people, their culture, and how that relates to Maya herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly very interesting. It can be a little, like, weird, because, one, you know, you probably don't know. Probably a lot of people don't know that. Two, you're kind of thrown in out of nowhere with it.
Yeah, because I won't lie, and I don't know if this is technically a spoiler or not, but the first 5 minutes of the episode, of the first episode, is just, like, a take on, like, the Choctaw's creation myth, right? And I won't lie, I was kind of just like, wait, what is this? Like, I thought I was watching a serious, grounded Marvel show, not some weird people living in like caves and dirt and stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, all right. No, and I'm like, okay, I get it now. After the sequence is all said and done, it's like, okay, all right, this is okay. I get where this is kind of going in terms of I'm assuming Maya connecting to her culture and stuff, kind of thing. But yeah, it's a very I guess it's kind of a bit jarring because it's like, oh, what? Because it's not really in most of the promotional material, I'm pretty sure.
No, right? there's some level of like you know, the idea of the culture in the promotional material, but just like probably not that extent.
Right.
But it's cool. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as it happens, like, oh, this is their story. Oh, so cool, so nice. And no, yeah. Overall, I do think that the show is very respectable when it comes to the people like with the AS who have, you know, such a disability, and while also, you know, showing off the beauty that is this culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
The show itself, I really enjoyed. I'm not gonna spoil too much on it, but I will say my thing about it is that, man, oh man, I've said this 1,000 times. I wish it was longer. Because those 5 episodes kind of hurt it.
Right.
Because there's a lot of moments where I'm like, I feel like we're fast-tracking a lot. You don't feel it in the first like few episodes, but then it starts going, and you're like, oh, wait, okay, this is going a little faster than I kind of would like. I would kind of like to spend more time with these characters. But there's still like this sort of level of emotional, you know, catharsis with some of these characters, especially Maya's relationship with certain characters. I'm not going to go that deep into it. But I found myself enjoying a lot of that. And I'll say this. I am very excited to see where Vincent D'Onofrio goes from here. Because, you know, from here on, it's him going into whatever storyline we have for coming up in Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, I think that is going to be interesting. I do sort of get what you're coming from with the pacing, which I think is, it feels like for us, it's always like one of those things that we kind of keep talking about when it comes to some of these Marvel Netflix shows. Like, Loki feels like the only one that doesn't have that issue.
No.
But it does seem like it kind of keeps popping up about, like, a lot of these shows either take their time with some things, but then just out of nowhere just start rushing other things, and it's like, all right, well, you're like, hold on, let's, you know, calm ourselves down here. And, you know, I think as much as it annoys me to keep repeating some of these talking points in all these Marvel shows, where it's like, you know, you have to, like, it feels like they, you know, they went into it making a miniseries, which is fine, you know. But it doesn't feel like it's properly paced for that sort of thing, and you're just sort of left with a bit of a jumbled pace. And I mean, like I said, I've only seen the first 2 episodes, and I won't lie, that second episode, to me, I was kind of just like, wait, what? In terms of like, how fast it kind of blew by to me.
Yeah.
Cause I was just sort of like, wait, hold on a minute. I thought this went on a bit shorter, you know, this episode felt, you know, shorter than, you know, like, okay, we had this big, yeah, these moments here, there, and then like, oh, where are we at the end credits? I'm surprised. Hold on a minute, how long was this?
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's weird. You know? So yeah, I definitely agree, and with that, even from watching the first 2 episodes, it's like, okay, so, I mean, pacing might be a problem here in this show. Obviously, we don't know if we're going to get a second season, but, I mean, you know, I feel like we probably won't, because, I mean, that's what it feels like with a lot of these Marvel Netflix shows. Not Marvel Netflix, the Disney Plus shows on Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, rarely, if ever, they get a second season. And if they do, it's because they're a big hit like Loki, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to look up to see if there is going to be a season 2, because I would totally love to see them continue on. Maybe have Maya Echo go and, like, check out other tribes. You know, like a good way to show off like more of the culture, you know. And, you know, each you know, tribe has their own thing, but also, like, you know, show off some of each of the tribes, you know.
Yeah, I guess that could be maybe
something. I'm just throwing out their ideas for a possible season 2. I don't even know. that we do know is that, you know, there is a connection to what would be again Daredevil Born Again, which I mean, I'm excited to see. From what I've been hearing, they're working hard on that show.
Well, yeah, they I think they sort of had a bit of a reset, right? Just because they didn't feel like the script was coming together.
Yeah.
And I think they brought people from, like, say, Loki, right?
Yeah.
To help out on that, too. And I do, it does make me wonder, sort of, like, because I think we all thought, like, Daredevil Born Again was going to be its own thing, not really relating much to the previous Daredevil show, right? Like, this wasn't going to be season 4 or something like that, right? But now that we know that all those Netflix shows are canon to the MCU, right? Like, officially confirmed, it does make you sort of think, alright, so, like, how exactly are you relating a lot of this stuff? Because for the most part, from what I understand, a good chunk of the cast from the Daredevil Netflix show aren't returning.
There might have been a couple of recasts here and there, but it's been mostly, like, there hasn't been a confirmation of the actor who played Foggy Nelson or Karen Page coming back. But I think they're going for a different direction, so it makes sense why they're not wouldn't be back. But I would love to have them back there because they help elevate a lot of that show.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, Karen's relationship with Matt. You know, him and Foggy were just the best. like you get their friendship, and I loved it. So, I mean, yes. So the main point is that with Echo, you can see the shades of trying something new. And whether it was executed well is totally dependent on you as a person. I feel like they've done a really good job of, like, you know, making it so that we can do a mature story. We can do a very, you know, appropriate story about people's culture, about, you know, people with these kind of situations. And that's what I'm kind of looking forward to, is what they do with, like, Daredevil. Daredevil's always been one of those characters that I've really enjoyed. He's one of my favorite characters. And, like, I've always looked forward to, you know, whatever he's in. So, this is giving me a little hope in what I would usually be like, oh, God, I hope it's not going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how, vote for yourself.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like once we start getting more information and maybe the trailer, I'll probably gauge my interest there. But right now, it's like, all right, I mean, you know, it seems like they're having some issues behind the scenes, but hopefully they work it out, and whatever first things we see out of it is good.
Yeah.
A similar approach I'm having with Blade right now, right, where it's like, okay, we were having some struggles here, I guess, in terms of getting the movie out and stuff, but hopefully we have the ship righted, and when we start finally seeing some of this stuff come out, you know, like trailers and stuff, like, hopefully it looks good, you know, all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And, like, for Echo herself, like, again, I'm not saying too much because I've seen all the show. You have it. Thoroughly enjoyable, very fun. It's a solid show. And it has the making of being so much more, which is why I'm hoping this is season 2. I'm hoping this isn't just a miniseries. I'm hoping there's more to it because I really want to see more, especially from this actress, because I think this is one of her only roles. Because to be fair, like, not to sound like a dick, but not a lot of roles for people with ALS.
You know? Right, right.
And this is, like, a very good avenue for them. And I'm hoping the best for people with that. And, yeah. Anything else you want to add?
I will say, maybe, like, off the top of my head, at least, I mean, so far, I'm pretty I know people were sort of, I think, also complaining a bit about the that first action scene with Daredevil.
That was such a stupid argument.
And honestly, like, I can kind of see where people are coming from, just from, like, how it is sort of laid out, like, it feels like it's supposed to be a one-shot, but it's very clear and obvious when there is a cut, because, like, they move transitions between something else, or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel, like, very, like, smooth, and I kind of get, like, that's the complaint, but for the most part, I think it's a fine fight.
Yeah.
I think the choreography is alright, and we do have bits and moments of, Maya using her, like, artificial leg, which she does have, by the way, which is something else you forgot to mention.
Yeah.
She is also partially disabled as well, in terms of physically, and, you know, like, vocally, right? Like,
yeah, but she's still a badass.
Yeah, and she, you know, she's able to use that sometimes for, like, balancing. You see her, like, do some, like, interesting stuff with that. But, yeah, overall, I mean, I thought it was mostly fine. I mean, I can definitely...
I mean, what I like about that fight sequence is that it shows that just because she is, you know, disabled in that sense, that she's not, you know, held back because of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are moments where, like, in her movements, there's a huge emphasis on, like putting such weight into that one area... And then using it for other things. It's there's a lot of like there's a lot of like smart like body language there. But yeah, no. You were saying?
No, that was
it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's right. But no, I mean I recommend the show. It's not very long, which again complaint that I continuously have. But it's a very like fun. It's a very you know good show. And it's also very respectable to the people they're acknowledging. And, yeah, I think, yeah, I should go watch it. And I think that's about it for the episode. Unless you have anything else to say.
No.
Okay. But if you guys enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're most active on Instagram. You find a link tree to all podcasting sites we're officially part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And be sure to follow us on YouTube, where you can like, comment, subscribe on our video versions of this episode. And we do have a Patreon for any form of support. And when that should be it. Yeah. Enjoy Echo, guys. It's me, Boy Eli.
Me, Joe.
You guys have a good one. Peace.